Hello, everyone. Welcome back to talk two of our Finding Joy, Dare to Hope at Home retreat. I'd like to start us off with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, into my mind and into my words. Help me to know better God's love for me individually. Holy Spirit, use me to convey God's love for each one of these listeners, that they are so loved by God individually. Help us to listen with Saint Therese's humility to be led and the confidence to ask. Help us to hear the message of hope that you have ready for us today. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome, everyone. My name is Rebecca Farber, and I am a Navy wife, a mom of four kids, and I work in the Office of Evangelization at Severna Parks St. John the Evangelist Church. And I'm excited to talk to you today about that St. Teresa of Avila quote that we heard earlier, that God is all powerful, but especially the part, and he loves me. In the last talk, we heard about God's power and how he has no boundaries, and he created all the stars in the sky as almost an afterthought. And now we get to focus on the fact that that God, who is all powerful, is also love. In the first letter of St. John, he says that God is love. That means God, he literally is love. He cannot do anything except for love. And he created you, he created me. So he loves us, and he loves us individually. But this can be hard sometimes to really get. It's in our heads, but it doesn't really drop into our hearts. We have this idea that God loves the world, and I'm part of the world, therefore he loves me. But that's not really the fullness of the individual love that God has for each one of us, for you and for me. Now, I know that there are two obstacles in particular that get in the way of me being able to fully understand God's love for me individually. Number one, it's applying my understanding of human love to God. And number two is lies of the enemy. But first, I want to talk to you about that first one, the first obstacle, applying our understanding of human love to God. I know that this happens so often for me when I impose the limits on love that I see in the human world that you see. We see it every day as we go through our interactions. We have precious time to spend with family and friends, and we have to choose. We have to choose how many minutes or hours we can spend going to see this friend or reading a book to this child, trying to get to cello lessons. When we get back to our hometowns for vacations or the holidays, we have to pick which relatives we're going to visit. All of this creeps into my understanding of what God's love must be, and that he has to divide his attention between me and my neighbor and the people living halfway across the world. And I have to take a step back and say, no, I have to remind myself intentionally that God is outside of these limits of space and time. He doesn't have to abide by these rules. He absolutely can love me in the fullness that he loves my neighbor and the person across the world all at the same time. The other limit that I put on God's love, from my understanding with human love, is past sufferings. And I know these are things that we all encounter. There have been times when our lives often are determined by the people who love us and the people who fail to love us. And those hurts can leave wounds that can last for a long time, a lot of broken trust. And again, we automatically assume then that if suffering happens, God must not love us. And that is not true at all. I have to consciously take a step back and say, no, God is faithful and He does love me all the time. So to help do this, I want to go back to St. Therese's quote, "The humility to be led and the confidence to ask." Now, we were using this idea from St. Therese because, as you remember, the story about her going around on her father's foot and how much he loved her. And yet she was always humble enough to be led by him. But the humility to be led also means the humility to listen. So when we hear these truths that can be hard, they don't really jive with our understanding of the world as we've come to know it. We have to have the humility to be led and say, yes, God, I know that this is true. And then we will have the confidence to ask for Him to continually renew this knowledge and move it from our heads into our hearts. Help us, we will ask Him to help us not to apply our understanding of human love to Him and to see Him in His fullness of love that He is. Now, that second obstacle that we encounter as we're trying to understand how God loves us individually are the lies of the enemy. And just to be clear, the enemy is the evil one, the devil, and his demons, and the actions that they take every day to try to convince you and try to convince me that we are not loved by God. Now, if we go back to the book of Genesis, we see this from the very beginning. The very first words of the serpent in the Garden of Eden is, "Did God really say?" Now, the devil still uses this tactic of lies and deceit to this day. And unfortunately, sometimes it's pretty convincing. But he's always trying to get us to doubt the identity of God, which is that he is goodness and love. And he's also trying to get you to doubt your identity as someone who is loved and a child of God, who is loved individually. So I encourage you to take a look at the handbook, if you can. When you have a moment, there are two pages in there that lay out for you exactly the truths of God and the lies of the enemy. When I learned this, it absolutely changed my whole life. Knowing that just because I think something doesn't make it true can absolutely transform you and your outlook on yourself and your outlook of God. The devil will try to convince you of things that diminish your understanding of God's love. So I challenge you, don't let him do this. Again, one of those tools he's going to use is that suffering means God doesn't love you. And I'm here to tell you that that is a lie. We're going to hear more about that in the next talk. But for now, I want to use an example from sacred scripture. One of my favorites is Mary Magdalene. After Jesus has died and she's going to his tomb to anoint him. Now, if you remember, Mary Magdalene was by Jesus' side through his entire passion, his death on the cross, and she waited with the other disciples, and I just imagine her despair as she was waiting and waiting. She had already lost someone she loved so dearly and watching him die, and then she had to wait till she was able to go anoint his body a few days later. And when she goes to arrive at the tomb, she sees that the stone has been rolled away and that the body is missing. And the discouragement and despair comes right back, and she goes running off to the other disciples and tells them, "Come, come, join me. Look at what happened." They all come running back, and she stays there weeping at the tomb, even after the other disciples have left. And as she's there weeping at the tomb, someone comes up to her, and she thinks it's the gardener. And she asks the gardener, where have you taken the body? Now she's so distressed. She has so much despair in her heart. She doesn't even recognize that the person in front of her is Jesus. And he has to call her by name and say, "Mary." And as he does that, the scales fall from her eyes, and she's able to see God and his love right there in front of her. It was right there in front of her the whole time, and she didn't see it. So I know that we all go through suffering, and we all have these kind of scales on our eyes. A lot of times they're there because of lies from the enemy or despair or suffering. But I want this talk, this retreat, to be the thing that can help those scales fall from your eyes so that you can see that God loves you right now, and he is loving you right now. Now we'll go back to the humility to be led and the confidence to ask. Saint Therese went through a lot of suffering in her life as well. Her mom died when she was only 4 years old, and she had her two older sisters who became like second mothers to her, and each of them ended up leaving her to go be a Carmelite nun. And she experienced so much suffering, and yet she clung to the truth with a holy stubbornness that Jesus loves her and is loving her despite the suffering that she's going through. So this is the message that I want to convey to you today, that Jesus loves you right here, right now, despite any suffering that you may be going through. Now, I will admit that, of course, even for me, I have gone through a fair amount of suffering in my life. And there are times when it seems so big that you can't see God's love in front of you. But that's when we have to cling to Jesus and look for those little things that he is doing for you right now, even though you might not be able to see it at first. So I have a couple of stories I want to share with you about hope and miracles and God's love and goodness despite suffering. One of them was my story with a dear friend of mine. After we moved here to Maryland, we had moved from Virginia Beach, where my dear friend I knew was very pregnant with her second child and was due to give birth any day, but I didn't want to constantly hound her and ask how she's doing. So one night when I went to bed, I checked Facebook just before I set my phone down, and there was one notification, and my friend's grandmother had tagged her in a post, asking everyone urgently to please pray. Her granddaughter had just delivered the baby, and the outlook was not good at all. The baby was in sepsis. Her organs were shutting down. The doctors think she had meningitis, and really the only chance of hope for this family was to use such a strong antibiotic that it would likely cause permanent brain damage for the rest of this baby's life, if it even worked. So when I heard that news, I was just distraught. I was in anguish. I hardly slept the rest of the night. And even the next morning, as I'm going around trying to deliver kids to the school and run errands for my family, I was constantly praying and praying for my friend. And I was so upset with God that finally I was driving right here on our main highway, Route 2. I had to turn into the Walgreens parking lot, park my car, and yell at God and say, "How could you do this? This is such a beautiful family. Please help this baby. Please help this baby. I need you to help this baby." And all of a sudden, my anger and my emotions went from this urgent state to instant peace. And I knew at that moment that God was doing something. I didn't know what. I didn't know if the baby would be okay or not, but I knew that he was telling me, "It's okay. You can stop praying now." So a few days later, I messaged my friend just to ask her how everything was going. And she said, "Rebecca, you'll never believe it. Little baby Clara started to respond to the antibiotics. It all happened at about noon on Friday. And now all of her levels are coming back to normal, and it's going to take time and testing to see if there are any long-term implications, but it looks like she might be okay." And I immediately started to cry, and I just told my friend what a blessing it was to hear this wonderful news. And I shared with her my prayer experience in praying for baby Clara. And she asked me, "What time were you praying?" And when I went back and looked at the time, it was just a few minutes before the doctors saw the baby starting to respond. And now I know it wasn't just my prayers. Many, many people and families were praying for them, but I do know that God showed every single one of us his love by answering that prayer, because baby Clara just had her third birthday and she has absolutely no side effects from the whole experience. The doctors were dumbfounded, they still are, but we know God loves us and he does miracles for us even despite our suffering. Now my next story is one that just happened to a friend of mine yesterday. Now, those of us who are listening to this right now, we're recording this at the time of the coronavirus outbreak. And many of us are being confined to our homes. We're trying to find out and juggle this new dynamic of staying at home and yet feeling isolated, yet coming together as a family. And it's quite different, but it is such a place of grace. Now, this friend of mine, her daughter has been traveling abroad for a while now. She's been going through a course to become an outdoor educator, which means she's going to like lead people on amazing extreme adventure trips, climbing mountains, and she's been down in Chile, actually, and her plan was to go to Santiago, to fly to Argentina, and backpack around Argentina for about a month. This has been her plan the whole time because she just graduated through this outdoor educator course. But of course, now with the coronavirus, all of these flights are being canceled everywhere. And she realized, as she got to the airport, Argentina had just closed its borders. And she was not going to be able to get into the country. She realized she quickly needed to get home as fast as she could. So she booked a ticket to America here. We live outside of Washington, D.C. Through Panama to try to get home. And she got to the airport just in time to find out that Panama closed its borders and was not accepting any more flights at all. So she called her mom, who is my friend, and they just started scrambling because at this point, every flight is full and they have no idea how they're going to get her home. So my friend went online, decided to Google airlines that fly out of Santiago. And sure enough, even though it never came up on any of the other searches before, the United flight came up. And when she clicked on it, there was one seat left on the flight to get into the United States. So, of course, my friend is rushing, trying to book this ticket for her daughter, and click, click, click away, and she gets it booked. And so now her daughter has a ticket home, but even the Santiago airport is saying that they're about to shut down flying, anywhere flying out of Santiago as well. The rumor was within 5 hours, the airport would be shut down. And of course, this flight left in about 6.5 hours. Now, they waited and waited. They called on the phone to United Airlines, and there was a 2-hour wait just to get a customer service representative. So they knew that that wasn't going to work. They just prayed that this was going to be their answer. And sure enough, she got on the plane, she got through customs, got on the plane, and then the flight took off and she landed in Texas just last night. As soon as the flight landed, they found out that was the absolute last flight that left Santiago to get back to the United States. So, in the midst of suffering, God loves my friend. He loves her daughter, and he loves you. So, I pray that we can each look for those moments of gratitude throughout our day. Sometimes they're not going to be these big events. Sometimes it's just going to be the little moments. A lot of us are stuck at home. Right now, I'm trying to homeschool my 4 kids and work my job and still do everything at home. And it can seem like it's a big burden and a lot of suffering. But when I take a step back and look for the moments of gratitude throughout the day, and I write them down, I'm able to see God giving his love to me throughout the day. Every time a kid completes an assignment and we're able to submit it, every time I get dinner made, every time we can find toilet paper in the store, because apparently that doesn't happen anymore. Any little gift that he gives us is a sign of his love for us. Now, I hope that my words today have had some effect on you, and I hope that now you're able to root out some of those obstacles and lies that may get in the way of you seeing how much God loves you individually. But my words can only do so much. It is the Spirit who gives life. So I want to pray right now for each one of us to feel and see God's love individually in a new way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Oh, gracious God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about your love and share how much your love has helped me and my family and friends. God, I pray that you help every single person listening right now. Give them hope. Give them the sight to see your love sprinkled throughout their day, in the big moments and in the little moments, in the joyous times and in the suffering. Let them always ask with confidence for anything that they may need, but always stay humble and listen to the truth that God, you are all powerful and you love me. Amen.